happy Monday evening. Thank you for being here. Today it is Monday, June the 10th, 2019. A one-hour show with Wynn Free and Terry Brown, located in Sedona, Arizona. We used to get announcement emails shortly before the shows, but that has discontinued. So I do not know what the topic is going to be. Let's wait and see. And I want to remind you, if you have not been there yet, every single day we do our Whole Planet Healing Call. It is a conference call only accessible by phone. You can find the information at wholeplanethealing.com. What you will see there is the phone number to call in, and I'm going to give that to you here shortly. Good evening. Welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location. But, of course, only if you want to. So I continue with the phone number for the Whole Planet Healing Call, which is every day at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. The phone number is 712-770-4340. 712-770-4340, and the access code is 250-513-pound. 250-513-pound. I welcome the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
This is Dharmananda.
Hello, Dharmananda. Welcome.
Are you warming up there?
It's pretty hot over here, yes. Triple digits.
Yeah, how hot?
Yeah.
Over 100?
And the pro? Yeah, over 100. Well, I don't know exactly. That's what the forecast said. I haven't checked. I don't know what the temperature actually is. But the problem is also here, the whole town of Paradise, and even in Oroville and Forest Ranch, PG&E, the power company, is shutting down the power for hours at a time. Yesterday it was out for 15 hours in a row.
Wow.
Because of fire danger.
Yeah, they got a big fire up there in Yellow, huh?
Fortunately, I'm not affected here in Los Molinos.
Oh.
It's 98 currently.
Oh, man. Pretty hot here, too.
All right. What elevation are you at, Dharmananda?
About 3,000.
3,000, yeah? Wow.
Yeah.
But do you have fog? You have fog going on usually or not?
Not usually.
No, okay. You're too far away from the ocean, right?
Yeah, about 15 miles.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And let's see what the temperature is today. Look at the weather channel. 85 degrees.
Tomorrow. Yeah. Tomorrow, 103 in Chico.
Wow.
Up in 90s, and a Sunday again, 100, and then the next following days, over the 100.
Wow.
Good evening. Welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
Hello. Hi, is it Prudy?
Prudy, welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Thank you. All right. Good evening. Welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Debbie from Costa Mesa.
Welcome to you, Debbie.
Hi. How you doing? Hi, everybody.
Doing
if they're there.
Dolphin.
Hi. Is that Prudy?
Yes, it is.
Hi, sweetheart. Boy, you're getting a lot of rain, aren't you, honey?
Yeah, it's been a week. We got another week to go.
Flooding? Or actually, it's putting Asheville on the map.
Yep.
On the news.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I'm high up, so.
And that's good.
I'm all right. Yeah.
I was watching the Weather Channel. They were explaining how because the Ozarks, is that it, the Ozarks, where you are, the mountains? The moisture comes in, and since it's blocked, it just dumps right there.
Yeah, that's true. We have a rainforest environment because of it, which is very pretty. you know, but it usually doesn't rain this long, you know. We usually get a little bit here and there, but this is, like, considered long rain. There are towns that are lower, even though they're high in elevation, but they're flat, and they can't handle it. Yeah.
Are you able to drive?
Yeah, I can. The town, you know, going into town, there's a dip in the road, and that usually floods out. So if you see cars flooding, that's probably it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good evening. Welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, everybody.
Good evening,
Hi, Don.
Don. Welcome.
Hi, Don.
I'm like the vacuum of space.
Yeah.
And I welcome all those that are joining in online through BBS Radio. Thank you for being here.
And the roads up here go up and down and sideways and backwards. So every time it goes down, it's prone to flood, you know?
Yeah.
I was looking at Ralph Ring on the internet a little bit.
All right.
You said he's a friend of yours?
Yes.
Oh, that's cool.
I met him
Did
like
you ever see his UFO?
What's that?
Did you ever see his UFO?
No, he doesn't. He doesn't have it. He has some drawings of it.
Uh-huh.
It was pretty amazing. I've been, you know, in conversations with him multiple times, but it's good to be with him and to listen to what he has experienced.
Yeah, I didn't check out that much, just a little bit.
He's a very grounded person.
Uh-huh. What other inventions is he known for?
Well, he has a whole a worldwide network where he's part of. I don't think it's his, but he's part of a worldwide network where all technicians are
inventors.
Coming together and coming up. What's that?
Oh, inventors and things, right?
Yes. Yeah. But I'm not involved with it, so I don't give it much attention. But he's, free energy is one big deal.
That would be nice.
Yes. When he went, was only one time he, with Otis T. Carr, they were going to do the test flight with the disc. And he kind of like, okay, he was with his people. It was like all kind of diamonds and stuff. They had diamonds, crystals. They had on board was kind of like a really energetic invocation for the thing to get moving. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Jennifer from Greensburg. Hi,
hello, Jennifer. Welcome.
Thank you.
Jennifer.
Thank you for being here. Everybody else came in.
Hey, pretty.
Roger and Austin.
Hi, Roger. Welcome.
Hi, everybody.
Roger.
Hi, Roger.
Thank you for being here. And the next person, we welcome you. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Jeannie. I'm 55.
Hello, Jeannie. Welcome.
Thank you.
Hi, Jeannie.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Jeannie.
Hi, Jeannie. Hi, Don.
Hi, Pretty.
Hi, Don.
But back to Ralph Ring, when he did the test flight with the flying disc, they was like an invocation, and he kind of like spaced out, and then all of a sudden they were standing there again, and he had no idea of time lapse or anything. But then he said, "So are we going?" And then Otis T. Carr said, "Well, we were just," and he pointed miles away. "We were just on the top of that mountain over there." And he said, "What? Serious?" So he said, "Yeah, check your pockets." And then he pulled all kinds of rocks and different weeds out of his pocket because he loaded it up on the faraway mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Good evening. Welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
Hello, hi, everyone. Shirley from Columbus, Ohio.
Welcome to you, Shirley.
Hi, Shirley.
Thank you.
Hi, Shirley.
Hi, Don. Did you feel the earthquake?
No. What time?
I'm not sure,
morning,
but it was supposed to be a four-pointer.
You couldn't feel it.
I didn't notice it, but, you know, maybe something else is going on at the time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I heard about that.
I did feel one years ago, like in the 90s or 80s, we had one up here. It woke me up.
Really?
Shook my bed.
Oh.
I was rattling the doors, closet doors.
I guess they felt it in Michigan and in Canada, they said.
Oh, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Hmm. You don't think of that those areas as being very geologically active.
Look at a map of
fracking.
Ohio actually had more earthquakes than I forget where.
Really?
I had a lot of earthquakes, though. But real small ones.
We had another participant join in. Welcome to you. Please stay in the location.
Win and Jerry in Sedona.
Hello, Win and Terry. Welcome.
Win and Terry.
Hi, Win and Terry.
Oh, I only hear Win. Taking your word for it, Win.
He's here somewhere.
How is life at the coffee pot, Win? I can tell you somewhere. Good evening. Welcome to the conference call. Please stay at name location.
Hi, it's Terry from Dallas.
Hello, Terry. Good evening to you. Welcome.
Hi.
Thank you.
Hi, Terry.
Hi, Terry.
Hi, buddy.
All right, and I welcome all those that are listening in online through PBS Radio. Thank you for participating with this call, for your presence at this show. And as I said earlier, every day, 7 days a week, we do our Whole Planet Healing Call at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. You can find the information on the website wholeplanethealing.com. You can only participate per phone. It is a conference call. And the phone number, if you want to know, make a note of it. The phone number to call in is 712-770-4340. And the access code is 250-513-pound. For the whole number, 712-770-4340. The access code 250-513-pound. We mingle together initially at that call, at that conference call, and Win reads usually an excerpt from the channel materials. And thereafter, we do a planetary and personal healing meditation. I welcome the next person here on the call. Thank you for being here. Please say name and location.
Hey, Heinz. Missed you yesterday. It's Helen.
It is Helen. Hi, yes. Helen.
Hi,
you
Helen.
Called in as a moderator.
I did what?
Called in as a moderator.
Oh,
sorry.
I got the phone number from Fruity because I've had all the wrong phone numbers and codes.
Okay, at least we know who's to blame.
It's my fault.
Just
well,
be aware of it.
At least I got in.
Yes. I will mute your phone line, okay, once that starts going.
No, I'll mute.
All right. Thank
Hi,
you.
Helen.
Somebody else joined in. Welcome to the call. Please say a name and location.
Dr. Art, Hampton, Virginia.
Mr. Franklin, welcome.
You're welcome. I'm glad to hear you.
Dr. Art.
Yes, ma'am.
You were cutting out. I couldn't tell what you hear, what you said.
I said good. Good to hear you guys.
All right. Thank you for being here.
Good to hear.
Yeah, you're damn right. Sounds like somebody's beating a drum or something with a snare instrument.
Clock ticking.
That's not a clock ticking.
Maybe
I'm not
fan?
Saying who it is. I'm not going to say who it is, but it comes from Sedona, that sound.
Oh. Well, it's got to be Winnetaria Raiden, one of the three.
Now, Don, do you actually have faults in your area, or is that some sort of other anomaly?
Yeah, I don't think there's any faults, per se.
Because it's not the first time.
No. That's just from something I saw online. There's a map, and they showed all the earthquakes in the U.S. And Ohio had a bunch of little ones. But I've only felt that one ever.
Mm-hmm. Wonder if they're hiding something from us.
I don't think so. In this case, most cases, yes.
Somebody else joined in. Good evening to you. Welcome. Please say your name and location.
Hi. This is Bonnie in California.
Hello, Bonnie. Welcome.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Bonnie.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Bonnie.
Hello. Really, that's it? We got three people on the line?
Hi, girl.
Hey.
I had a lot of silent voices.
Yes. Love you guys. I'm going to mute myself.
All right. Thank you for being here. Keep the bar rocking and rolling. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Good evening, Heinz. It's Wanda up in Saskatchewan, Canada.
Welcome to you, Wanda.
Thank you.
Hey, Wanda.
Hello.
Hi, are we echoing now?
No echo. No.
That's unusual. Okay, this is Monday. You know what happened tonight? Jerry forgot her phone in the car, and I was calling her all day. And finally I went, and, you know, she has certain routines that help keep her grounded. One of them is going out for breakfast at 8:30 in the morning, and the other is going after happy hour. And I forgot about the call at 6. So I got back at 5:30. So we're just about back to the house. Not only that, I went out and I forgot my phone. So Gary is rubbing off on me.
Happy hour from 2.
We're coming back
happy
to the
hour.
House.
From 8:30 to 6.
From 8:30 to 6.
The happy hour.
No. The breakfast yeah. was at 8:30.
Happy hour from 8:30 to 6.
No.
So well, I lost my phone in my teenager's room.
Well, like teenagers, right.
Right? I lost it in my teenager's room for 2.5 days. It was in there.
Your phone?
My phone, yeah.
Well,
I don't go in there very often.
Welcome to the club. Is it all messy?
Oh, boy.
Hi, from D.C. How you doing this evening?
Hi, Brenda. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi, Brenda.
Hello.
Good evening.
Hello.
Anyone else? Feel free to say your name and location.
Hi, Janine.
Jerry, come on.
And those that have joined in here recently online through BBS, we welcome you. Thank you for being here.
What?
We're only 16 minutes late at this point.
Yeah, but we're here in the ever-present moment of now.
All right. And we will start the show sooner or later. All it takes is patience.
Good practice.
Good practice.
I discovered a bed and breakfast that is near the house, and it's a Gerson clinic, and they have treatments for critical diseases like cancer and all kinds of diseases. They have infusions and hyperbaric oxygen, and they have a beamer, and they have all kinds of devices and supplements, and they serve 13 glasses of fresh baked juice every day and 3 meals a day for their patients and 3 meals a day for their guests. They have 15 units.
Wow.
And they have 4 naturopathic doctors that are on staff.
Wow.
And they have some really, really good protocols for diseases.
All right. What's the name of the place?
Gerson Wellness Clinic.
Gerson B?
Oh, G-E-R-S-O-N. We were looking for something to address scarring of the lungs or fibrosis. Because we have a couple of friends that have that and are trying to figure out how to get over it. So a person can go there and say, well, if they are in a local, they can get outpatient treatment and go there for breakfast or lunch and dinner and everything.
They're based on the Gerson, that Gerson therapy?
Yeah, G-E-R-S-O-N. And their breakfasts are, I think, the best breakfast in town, and it's $12.
I have to eat 2 breakfasts every day.
That's
you eat 2 breakfasts?
Is it organic?
I eat at Gerson and at the coffee pot.
Sometimes I do that. But I don't eat much dinner because I finally gain normal weight and I don't want to gain any further.
Right. That's good, though.
Yeah.
You're back on track.
Yes, I am.
You did have another person join in. If you want to, feel free to say your name and location.
Hi, this is Sarah from Evanston, Illinois.
Hello, Sarah. Welcome.
Sarah.
Yes.
Hi, Sarah. Okay. Now, I got to figure out what we're going to do today. Always by the time we hit Monday, I said, okay, we had the whole weekend. We did two calls yesterday. And Monday is kind of a letting off steam day. But not necessarily. I mean, I actually have topics, but I'm not focused enough to start on a topic and think I could keep it together.
So,
I'm too close to my mic?
Yes.
Okay. So, shall we do an open mic?
I've already been doing one.
Yes. You've already been doing it. I know.
Yes.
Well, or should we play a Terry Friedman? It's kind of late to do a replay.
Yeah. Open mic.
Somebody probably has something they want to talk about.
Of course.
Well, we have Terry talk about Grace.
Terry talks about Grace. If we were not so, how can I say it? Seat of the pants. I do a channeling, but it's not good to do a channel to me. Jay?
Yeah?
I mean, when we start doing too many channelings per week, you start running down, right?
Well,
do you run down or run up?
No, it's I could talk a little bit of it from my memory from this side.
Yay!
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? I think since the hot topic now is this book you're writing, I think we should talk about... We're not recording yet, okay? I think, you know, we can have a casual conversation about Xantippe and Socrates and Homer, because the way that story is coming together is pretty incredible, as I observe it.
Let's get the recorder going.
Yeah, okay, let's start. Let me just see. Is that okay with you guys?
Great. Fabulous.
Good.
So, the way I observe it, you are still too close to
this
the mic.
Conference
How are
is
other
being
people?
Recorded. Muted.
This is June 10th, 2019. Wynn and Terry in Sedona, everybody everywhere. And I did mute you all after I said we're going to do an open mic, but then we switched it. And I thought I would talk a little bit. You know, Terry is working on a book, and we're actually working on it together at this point. And she has the unusual ability to remember some of her past lives. And over the years that I've known her, she used to talk about it. And I thought she was a nutcase. I couldn't believe it. And all the time that I knew Terry, from day one, she had this fellow living in her apartment. Or her condo, and he was on the couch, and they weren't really having a relationship, and for a good part of the time, he just was on the couch writing, and Terry was working, and she was kind of his patron. She believed in his writing. And I remember her thinking that this person is taking advantage of her. I mean, he doesn't work. He doesn't bring in any money. Eventually, he got Social Security, and he had some money. And he was just writing all the time. And he was a character. He wasn't like a converse, and he was a character. He was, how would you describe John Derry? Like, if you called him a character.
He was very funny. And he had a wonderful sense of humor, and he would make me laugh. And he had sky blue eyes, and his hair, he had a beard, and he had hair. Girls adored him. Like one time there was a girl from back east, and she just walked out of her house with the clothes she had on and hitchhiked straight to him. And he adored another girl. And then those two girls, they went to India together.
Now, I should say, before John moved in with Terry, he was living in his van. And before that, he was involved in the very early days of Scientology. And,
he was a friend of Ron Hubbard, and he edited most of the books.
He edited most of Ron Hubbard's books.
Yeah.
And I think he wrote some books that Ghost wrote
some
books.
He wrote some books.
That Ron Hubbard put his name on. Now, this was in the 60s, and from my perspective,
in
the 50s.
Yeah.
And from the time of that, from my perspective, Scientology has gotten extremely corrupted. There's a lot of things they do that are totally against my principles. And I was never attracted to it. And I think the reason I was never attracted to it is because, in my own way, I was learning about Christ consciousness. I had experienced Christ consciousness in various circumstances. I didn't even call it that, but I could feel this wonderful energy around certain teachers that I would go see. And I didn't feel that consciousness with Scientology. It felt like they had a system for releasing you from your past track, from your karma, that involved auditing. And it was always like a process that would never end. It's kind of like, with grace, you can speed up all those processes. Without grace, it's like you got to pick it apart, piece by piece by piece. And they took advantage of that and would charge people a lot of money to get their processes. In any case, at the beginning, I think it was had some legitimacy to it. But at a certain point, it feels like it was taken over. John was there at the beginning, and he was like one of the old-timers, and a lot of Scientologists know who John was, okay? And looked up to him for his participation and contribution in those early days. Well, Terry sometimes talks about going to these channelings of this lady, Cheryl Taylor, which sometimes I would drop her off to. But I never wanted to go. I didn't trust channeling. I thought that it was like giving up your power, and that some discarnate force was going to tell you what to do, and I didn't know if I could trust it. Well, Terry always tried to get me to go, and I always said no. And one time, the lady was channeling Cheryl Taylor, and she looked at Terry, and how did that come up, Terry? Did she just bring it up out of the blue?
Just out of the blue. Just out of the blue. She was channeling to a group of people, and all of a sudden she looked at me, and she said, you were connected to Plato. And
okay.
I said, can you tell me more about it? And they said, no, you aren't ready to handle that information.
So
I started wondering, who was I? And I got a picture of being sitting around a table with a large wooden table with Plato and his students.
Now,
and,
Plato was the guy who made Socrates famous. At the time, as far as I know, Socrates didn't write much. What was the date of Socrates, Terry?
He was born in 469 B.C., and he died in 399 B.C.
So approximately 400 B.C., plus or minus, okay?
Right.
And he was in Greece, which was the most, I believe, advanced country on the planet at the time. Could you say that, Terry?
Well, it was very advanced.
I mean, they had literature.
They were prosperous. They had markets with fresh fruit and meats.
And, of course, all these beautiful architected buildings, right?
Yes.
And I think an educational system. And they had art. They had art. And they had writing. And they had plays. You know, it was advanced. And Socrates lived in that period of time, and his basic MO was he would hang out in the cafes. People would gather around him at tables, young people, and he would teach them by what's come to be known as the Socratic method, where instead of telling a method of creating an argument with somebody so they would learn a lesson, and can you give an example of that, Terry?
Put an example in my book. It's like he claimed that he knew nothing. He always started from a viewpoint of knowing nothing. And then he would try to figure out if a person was wise. And he would ask, he would say belief, like, are men good? And are there some men good and some bad men? And should you, like if a man's your friend, should you back him up and support him? If a man's your enemy, should you do everything you can to destroy him? And he'd ask questions like that, you know, and he gradually lead it around to where, well, you know, maybe we shouldn't try to destroy our enemies. And sometimes he would make, he'd be the person that was being debated with into some kind of a box that where they come eventually to admit something that obviously wasn't true or to contradict themselves. And people, some of the people felt really chagrined by having being made the laughing stock sometimes of where he was going.
In any case, Socrates was married to this woman, Xantippe. And she provided a home for him, and he would just go around and sometimes often stay up all night hanging out at the cafes doing his bantering with the young people of Athens. And
he lived with his parents until his parents died. And Xantippe moved in with them all. But so there was a house there, but he didn't bring home money, didn't charge for his debating, and he didn't earn money. And he always said, well, the gods will provide. So it was really hard for a member of his family to know where the next meal was coming from.
Mm-hmm. And there's some famous quotes about Xantippe that have passed down from Socrates. And one of them was, if you want to be happy for the rest of your life, make sure you have a good wife. But if you don't have a good wife, then become a philosopher.
she'll make you into a philosopher.
She'll make you into a philosopher. So, and obviously, I'm drawing the connection here between John, who is living on Terry's sofa and never making any money, and just writing all the time, and Socrates. And, of course, she's still on the trail of, like, Plato, you know, this woman who was a channel didn't say Socrates, she said Plato.
Right.
But sometimes they do that just to throw bones. They did that with me, you know, when I asked something about Akhenaten, I said, did I know Akhenaten? And they said, I was his right-hand man. So they weren't exactly candid, but they gave me a bone that made me keep researching and researching till I figured it out. So with Socrates, at a certain point, I don't know when, Terry discovered that John had a remarkable resemblance to Socrates.
Yeah, he'd say things, you know, like we went for out for a night and we visited some young people who were gathered together and I was so tired from work I just fell asleep, and when we went to go home, he said, oh, I did a brilliant analysis of this, an explanation of the Socratic method tonight. And I thought, oh, man, why did I go to sleep? I should have forced myself to stay awake to hear that. But he tried every time, every day I would get home from work and he would start some debate or other with me. He'd ask me questions, and I'd end up not even be able to answer. I didn't know where I was going. I could never win an argument with him. And then he'd say, you're supposed to keep going. You're supposed to defend yourself. Come on.
Now, while during this period, Terry and I were connecting, but
yeah.
I could never stay over her house because John was there. So,
but sometimes you did. We had a spare bedroom and you stayed in there sometimes.
Yeah. But, you know, we would go out to a motel and then we'd separate. And, of course, in that period of time, I was running around selling things at street fairs and Terry was coming with me. So we would flow in and out of each other. And she was just so dedicated. And so you guys can tell that she is a super angel if you get on her good side. But, of course, Socrates kept getting off of her good side because there's the famous picture of her pouring piss on Socrates' head. And,
I got so mad at Socrates. I remember getting so mad at him because I could never win an argument. He didn't make money, and yet he expected me to serve food to the kids. He never wore shoes. And so when the kids needed shoes, he really didn't get it. And John was kind of like similar, like if he didn't have any money, like before I took him in, like he'd go to a restaurant and he'd pour ketchup and water in a glass and have a free meal. He had little things worked out like that to survive.
Like liquid ketchup, right?
Yeah, and he'd drink something.
And, you know, John was a little competitive with me at the time, okay? Particularly when I started writing The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And really, when I got it published, he said, how did he do that? Because John didn't have a clue how to work the world. And it's not easy working the world from a spiritual place. You have to keep a lot of simultaneous agendas going. So in any case, over the past few years, I became convinced that Terry really wasn't crazy and that she really was the wife of Socrates. And I started studying it a little bit. And you know, when John was busy writing on our couch, I mean, he was doing really strange kinds of things. Like, there's a famous, I think it's a, is it a Greek tragedy, Homer? Is that called a tragedy?
Well, it was a poet, the Iliad and the Odyssey. Homer wrote the Iliad and the Odyssey in early Greece. And he would go around from place to place singing the news in poetry that became these famous two long poems.
Mm-hmm.
And John began to rewrite them. And
what year was Homer?
It was before Socrates, and I'm not sure.
I thought you'd be up on these things. Oh my God! Well, John was translating Homer and turning it into.
Yeah, he had a good dictionary, and he was translating Homer into modern English.
Yeah, and I don't think anyone had ever done that. There were translations done, but they were probably stilted. And John was on the couch.
Yeah, they were stilted compared to what John wrote. John was amazing.
Yeah. So
and
now
he wrote a play. I forget the name of it. He wrote a play that his daughter performed at Stanford, a Greek play that every seat in the house was sold out, and people loved it.
So, in any case, 2 days ago, you know, Terry is working on the Xantippe chapter of her book. And I said, why don't we do a channeling and maybe we'll find something interesting to put in that chapter? And so we did. And what came out was that John Socrates had a previous life as, guess who? Homer. So John was translating his own Greek work as Homer. But of course, he didn't know that.
John has a really, really good voice. He performed in summer stock with some really famous songs, and he would sing them. And one time I came home, and I thought the radio was playing, but it was John singing. And he was so good in summer stock that the Hollywood scouts started following him around and trying to get him to take him to Hollywood for the movies. And he quit summer stock because he didn't want to be trailed by those guys. But Homer sang, would go from city to city singing the news in beautiful poetry. And then Socrates would sing Homer. And John just had this amazing, amazing voice. I mean, he would have gone far in Hollywood.
So now, Terry and I would drive two or three times a year from Los Angeles to Sedona, and she had her house in Sedona. And at one point, John and I lived in the house together. And we were kind of like cats and dogs butting heads. Now, if I knew he was Socrates, I probably would have been a lot more considerate. But I didn't know that. I've never, in the wildest imagination, crossed my mind. But when we would go to Sedona, we had a friend named Jean-Claude Coven, who we met through Carla Ruckert. And he wrote a book called Going Deeper, and he was trying to make the raw material accessible in simple language with a parable about a dog, a wise dog, observing everything, as I recall. Well, in any case, he and I and Terry liked each other, and he was fairly successful. He lived in a really nice house in Palm Springs. And when we would be going from Sedona, from L.A. to Sedona, we would always go visit him or go have lunch with him or have coffee with him and continue. And at various times, he made some donations to us when we were on the edge. And it was always totally selfless on his part. And one time we were visiting him, and for some reason we mentioned John Sanborn, who was living in Terry's house at the time. And Jean-Claude jumped. He said, I really want to meet that guy. And I don't even think we said anything that would, you know, provoke him to want to meet John. And as we left his house, we were thinking about it. And I said, what? You want to meet John? Jean-Claude is a very... if he wasn't positive, he would be negative elite. He's very elite, very refined, very smart. And when we got to Sedona, I looked up Plato.
Well, I looked him up, actually. We walked in the door, and John had a book with a picture of Plato on the cover. And I looked at it and I said, hey, Wynn, doesn't this look like just like Don Quad? And he said, yeah.
And, you know, Plato was, how would you say it, an elite person compared to Socrates. You know, he came from
a rich family.
Yeah. And it was Plato that put Socrates on the map. If it wasn't for Plato, Socrates would have probably fallen through the cracks. Nobody would have ever heard of him. But as of right now, people think that Socrates laid the foundation for the Western system of ethics, democracy. I don't know, maybe not democracy, ethics. And I'd have to be a little more learned to say more than ethics, but I know ethics was one of the things. And then another lifetime of John that we had discovered, I'm not even sure, did you know he was Socrates when we discovered the most recent lifetime?
Homer?
No. Brigham.
Brigham Young?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
You knew he was Socrates at that point. Or you suspected it.
I knew he was Socrates, a long time ago.
Yeah, so Jean came back and was Brigham Young and was, you know, very much responsible for the Mormons. After Joseph Smith died, Brigham Young is the guy that, you know, founded Salt Lake City and took all these Mormons across the country. And he was very bossy. John was very bossy. I don't know if Socrates
was bossy. But he did it with charm. He did it with charm. Oh, much charm.
Stop sticking up for him. But all right. All right, he did it with charm. And so, to me, the fascinating thing about this is when you can identify someone over a number of lifetimes, it is really fascinating because you can tune in to the same soul. Most of the time, we don't have that luxury because you would have had to have been famous in order to check this out. And not only would you have to be famous, but you would have had to figure it out who you were. And of course, as we have learned, people look like their past lives because the DNA travels, but the soul travels. And you can see the connection. By the way, Homer did look like John. You can see the connection between Homer and John and Socrates and John and Brigham Young and John.
There's a picture of John and a picture of Brigham Young with exactly the same haircut that nobody in his right mind would have a haircut like that. But it was exactly the same. It's like a bowl over your head or something.
Yeah. So, in any case, hey, we took up all the time, and we did it, Terry. We got through it. And let me see. We probably have a minute if anyone wants to ask a question. Hang on a second. And I thank you for letting us do that because, you know, this is an area that Terry is really passionate about right now, and it's good for her to talk about it. And you can see how interesting this book is going to be. Hang on.
unmuted.
Strange connection.
So, was that interesting?
Yeah, yeah, it was good.
Have you guys done any channelings about on the topic?
Well, okay.
So, we did one, not today, it was yesterday, was that?
Okay, yesterday.
Yeah.
That was really a good show. Good topic.
Well, it's really fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, you get an intuitive grasp that's the intuitive grasp of how this reincarnation thing works, because and how each lifetime the person is totally has no idea, memory of anything in the past. But if you're a good detective and you get the right clues and figure it out, you can see the journey of a soul over a few lifetimes. And we can assume that all of us have had that same journey, even if we weren't famous. And even if we were famous, you know, the way the patterns repeat. So in any case,
I think it's really interesting how many historically interesting people you and Terry have met and attracted in your lives.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It is. Well,
like
you know what? Obviously, we've run in those circles. Our energy is there. And it is amazing, amazing how we run into people. You know, one of the people we ran into recently, well, you've seen the picture of Wilcox and Wilcox's wife. No, Wilcox's friend and Casey's wife. Have you guys all seen that?
Wilcox, mm-hmm. I have, and Casey's wife. Oh, yes, yeah. Okay.
We met her in Sedona. But she was all upset because she never gave David permission to use her picture. But in any case...
too late now.
Too late. All right. In any case, we're going to close this call. Go to Whole Planet Healing in 6:58. Hello to everybody in BBS. Thanks for putting up with us. We got here and we did a good show. And thank you, Terry, for being such a good angel.
It's exciting to be able to take a look at all of that. And it's like, see how being around somebody like that in that lifetime and this lifetime has helped me form my mind on how to look at stuff.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right.
All right. So on that note, I'm going to stop the recording.
Your conference recording has stopped.